Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Broadcasting live from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com, your source for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With your hosts, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, Katie Singing Eagle. The call-in number is 646-595-3440. So kick back and relax and enjoy the show.
Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia.
And I'm another host, David Tucros.
And this show is brought to you by, let's see what card we get today. Brought to you by The Squirrel.
The Squirrel.
All right, we welcome The Squirrel.
Coming soon to a tree near you.
Yes. And his nuts.
Yes.
So, Squirrel is about preparation. Get ready for big changes.
It's funny, I saw a car on the way over here that said, I break for squirrels. So, there you go.
Yeah.
That's a sign.
Well,
yeah,
good.
It's a little, you know, sometimes it's the little things that are around us that we don't even notice that are sometimes the most important, greatest lessons to teach us. So take that from the squirrel.
Good little preparers.
Mm-hmm.
They like to prepare themselves and get ready.
That's right.
Well, let's see if Katie is
Katie
online.
Is not here in our studio, but she might be calling in.
Yeah, so if she feeds back, we'll have to cut her mic off, though. So
okay.
We warn you now, Katie. Here we go.
No feedback.
I can get her on. Do you want to come? Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, just hanging out in my pad here.
Cool.
Nice.
In the eagle's nest.
There you go.
Good.
Watch out for those squirrels. Squirrels, watch out for the eagles.
Yeah, snatch.
I'll ooh, grab you. Tasty with a little rice and gravy.
There you go.
But too many bones.
Too many bones, yeah, they are kind of bony.
Well, you know, the weather here has been kind of cold lately, so this weekend was, you know, kind of a mellow weekend for at least for me. I didn't go to the Friday or Saturday night drumming. We went to Friday night drumming, though, and that was that was great, down in Chillicothe. So it seems like that's getting bigger and bigger and gaining momentum down there now.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to see that.
And I want to also thank Dwight and Cindy for hosting that with Dar.
Yeah.
But also want to send prayers and love to Dwight's family. His sister passed away. And so thinking about you, Dwight and Cindy, and hopefully everybody in the family.
Right. Yeah. That happens quickly sometimes, or sometimes it's a long process, mm-hmm. but it's the first that we'd heard about his sister having any problems or so. So, yeah, we're just sending our prayers and are holding a good thought for them.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. Hey,
big contrast from last week, huh?
Yeah, last week we were so busy with Ash Cave.
Ash Cave, and it was like 50-degree
Sherman
weather.
Walk. Yeah.
And now we're back to zero.
Ohio weather.
Our timing was right.
Yeah.
We timed that just right. So that's good. It's good to know.
I can hear us in the background.
Yeah, I can hear us in the background, Katie. I think you're feeding back into the mic somehow.
I know I had to mute my computer.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's the computer. Okay.
There you go.
Well, what Katie's doing there. All right, cool. Excellent.
Well, you know, it's too bad you're not here because I brought a copy of my book for you.
Oh, okay. That's like that one day I brought you a car.
Well, brought me a car?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I missed it. I totally missed that. Wow. Well, this isn't a car, but it's a book.
You should see his eyes that big.
I'll bring it another day.
Okay. I always miss it by that much.
What color do you want in your car?
Yeah. Black.
Black car. There you go.
License plate says Two Crows on it.
There you go. With a pimp hat.
Okay.
Now, the weather's really cold, and, you know, I tell you, it's a humbling cold, though. You know, I was thinking about that today. I went out and I said, I got to go out and start my car. You know, because if I don't, you know, if you let it sit too long,
right,
you know, that oil gets really jelly and, you know, then the battery starts to act up and then it's just a whole bunch of things start to happen.
Yeah.
Got it going, got it started. And then I decided to just head over to Jack and Benny's and maybe run into my brother, but he wasn't there. But I ended up talking with my brother's sister-in-law and his brother-in-law. They were running the restaurant that today. And I hung out with them most of the early part of the morning. And
well, that's good.
So got to talk to them a little bit. And, you know, Robert's having a baby, too, you know, Ilda's brother. So it was all kind of like, you know, serendipitous. So
yeah.
He's ahead of the game. But it was nice to talk with them. I talked to them about when I was going to go to Peru with some people. And they'd never been to the jungle either. They'd never visited before. And so for them, they're all excited. They might want to come, they said, you know, because they've never been. You know, because you live in Peru doesn't mean you know
right.
all Peru. It's like the United States. When you live here, you know, you don't visit everywhere.
I lived in Alaska for 35 years, and I never went to Mount McKinley until I went there to visit with somebody, you know.
Yeah.
Took somebody up there. So it's like that. You can sometimes live somewhere and not even know your own backyard.
Not funny, because I know when people ask me all the time, oh, you're from Peru. Have you been to the jungle? Oh, yeah, I want to go to the jungle. You've been to the jungle? And then when you tell them that you've never been to the jungle, they're like, you've never been to the jungle? You're from Peru? You're a shaman?
They don't understand sometimes that's a ways to go, you know.
And the jungle is far. You know, it's kind of,
yeah.
it's all.
And it's a lot different from, well, you lived on the coast.
I'm
so.
A coastal,
yeah.
coastal person. Kind of like Californian.
Warm weather.
You live in America. You never been to the Grand Canyon? You know, yeah.
Well, that's my point. I've never
yeah.
been to the Grand Canyon.
Right.
That's one thing I like to go. A lot of people like, say, if you've seen it once, you've seen it, you know, once. But still, I want to see it.
It's amazing. I was only there maybe a couple years ago at
mm-hmm.
the most, and then, you know,
oh,
some of those things,
yeah.
you really can't describe it because it's there. You know, you've seen it in pictures and everything, but when you stand there
oh,
and
different.
Look at it, it's like, I'm really here.
Different.
And it's funny because, you know, you get that thought in the back of your mind, I could just run and jump and just fall all the way down that canyon.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, people have done that before. You
really?
Know? They have.
They just jump off?
Yeah, they just jump off.
Just because they're done?
They just know, you know, they're ready to.
Oh, I thought maybe they just misread the.
Oh, well,
the
there's
trail,
that too.
You know?
But
okay.
you know, some people just they just
oh, okay.
that's their point in time to go. Well, you know what? If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out in a big way. I'm going to
yeah,
jump
yeah.
off the Grand Canyon.
That
you
is
know?
A big way. Down the hole
so,
we go.
But it's beautiful, you know, and there's so
mm-hmm.
much to it. You know, you go. There's one end of it, and then there's the 23 miles later. There's the other end of it, and you
wow.
go all along that canyon. And yeah, anyway.
I'd like to go to Devil's Tower.
Devil's Tower
in Wyoming.
I've seen that before too, and that's amazing.
I did a report about Wyoming once, and Devil's Tower was like one of those things that I decided that I was going to do a sculpture of, and I made this little Devil's Tower sculpture, and then like a couple years later, the movie came out.
where
yeah.
like built it in his living room. Yeah, with
yeah.
big
and I started thinking about this. I don't know where that sculpture is now, but I always want to find that. But I was one of my proud moments as a kid. You know,
yeah.
when I made that. Made that sculpture
That's
with
cool.
all the little lines.
You will see it one day, my friend. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
I'm saying that right now. You yeah. will stand there and look at it and go, I can't believe I'm here.
No, I like it.
It's bigger than my sculpture. Wow.
Because there's a story behind it. There's a fable, you know, a story
yeah.
about, you know, kids running up the mountain and
the bear
clawing,
was clawing at it.
Yeah.
yeah, there's a whole
yeah,
legend
so.
About that. You know, and on the way there, on the trip I was taking, we passed through the Black Hills. Where you've got Mount Rushmore.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're also building the Crazy Horse Monument there,
wow.
too. So I just remember thinking a couple of things as I was going there. When I saw, actually, Mount Rushmore, I said, that's not as big as I thought it would be, for one thing.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem as large as what you think about when you've seen the pictures and everything. And the other thing was, you know, they carved up a perfectly good mountain to make these faces
yeah.
of these people on a mountain, you know, that was sacred to the
yeah.
to the Sioux. And, you
right,
know, it's
right,
just...
Right.
I just wonder about the vanity of our culture sometimes and our human.
I hear people say all kinds of, oh, a bunch of Republicans up there.
Oh,
on the
yeah.
side of the mountain.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
Remember the movie with Nicolas Cage?
National
Treasure. Yeah.
And
treasure.
Behind
National
the Mount
treasure.
Rushmore.
Yeah.
Was some.
That was pretty cool.
There actually is something behind Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
The original design was to have that be a vault for documents and for other items, you know, like protected and enshrined there in the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
But it got partially completed, so there's some representations of the Constitution and some of the other documents.
That's
and,
cool.
And
yeah.
so on. But
neat.
There's an interesting story about the person who designed all that and, you know, his background and his history. There's a whole nother story. We're going to talk a little bit about history tonight when we bring James on, my friend James Ramsey, friend and coworker,
mm-hmm.
who... I was recently taken on a new job, and part of my duties there, my training there, is to sit with people and shadow them as they talk to people and learn the ins and outs of that. And they partnered me up with James, and So, in the course of talking with James, you know, I discovered he has a real interest in history, genealogy, and the Native American, influence, you know, of his own background and what was going on in the Americas here, pre-Columbia,
mm-hmm.
and also post-Columbus.
Yeah,
you know, and some of the things that happened with resignations and you know, just there's a lot of history that we really don't learn in class and in school. They've simplified it a lot, you know, and it was challenging to some of my ideas about what was going on, and it opened my eyes up. So I thought he'd be an interesting guest to bring on tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and let him talk and explain a few things, you know.
Yeah. Well, are you guys ready for that interview then?
Anytime, yeah.
All right.
You want to bring James on?
James Ramsey is welcome to the show, James.
Thank you. How are you?
Hello.
We're doing well.
Hey.
We're good.
How's it going, Dave?
Hey, it's going real good, my friend. Going real good. We both got a day off work today.
Yes, we do.
Thank you to President's Day.
That's right.
Well, I don't know. We can kind of leave it up to you where you want to start. What impressed me at first was how culturally and ethnically diverse the Americas were before, you know, even way before we think about it. Like, Now we think that the first European here was Leif Erikson with the Vikings, but even before that, I believe that there were people who came to this country from both ends, you know, both from the Asia side and from the Africa and the mm-hmm. Europe side. And so you've done some studying and both of your own history and through some courses mm-hmm. that you've taken from some of the schools and so on. So I'll just let you pick up wherever you feel like you'd like to start.
Oh, okay. All right. So one of the biggest things that, you know, with me following my genealogy was area, basically. We have on both sides of the family, like my grandmother's side of the family, well, my mother's mother's side of the family all mostly come from the East Coast. Like, there was, we never really had any instances of anyone coming from the South. Everybody mm-hmm. came from the East Coast, and that was a large Iroquois territory. And then with my father's side of the family, his family had been in an area that has been owned by the natives for thousands of years. So there is an actual thousand-year history in that area, and his family comes from the Alabama, Florida area.
Okay.
So there was so as I was doing research, and the further back I was going, the more and more information I was getting. Plus, like you said, I did also take courses in history. History is one of my favorite subjects, and everything that I was learning in history, it was kind of coinciding with the family. Like my father's family, they own the town. They have their own cemetery and everything
mm-hmm.
In this town. So the more and more I started learning, I started going with groups of other researchers, and we all started sharing information. And with this information, there's things that a lot of people didn't know about based off of the race of the natives.
Mm-hmm.
You hear different stories, like you know, you go and you watch a cowboy and Indian movie, and everybody's like, well, these are the cowboys and Indians. Most people didn't know that 90% of those Indians that played in the cowboy and Indian movies were all from Italy. They were all Italian.
Yeah.
Now, there was a handful of natives, like Russell Means, who's one of my favorites, and several other chiefs that was in the movies. But usually, without them, most of them guys were Italian. We know that in history, we've heard of how the, like he said, we've heard Leif Erikson discovered America. We've heard Christopher Columbus discovered America. But they never talked about the trade between the Asians and the Africans to the Americas.
Mm-hmm. They don't want us to know.
With that, of course, of course. And with that trade, they set up posts. So, you know, you've heard of the OMACs. I'm pretty sure everybody's heard of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And mm-hmm. was able to look at those big, giant statues and seeing that they had large African features.
Uh-huh.
Anywhere you go in the world, the best thing to do when you start doing research is find out about their food. Because there are
yep.
plants and food that is indigenous to certain areas. And that's
right.
how you know a person's been there. So, like corn. Corn is exclusive to the Americas. It was invented
mm-hmm.
it was created 5,000 years ago by the Mayans by using maize. So as you travel and as they traveled and did their trade, they started presenting corn to everybody. When the Africans would come over, they would trade corn. When the Asians would come over, they would trade corn. Now, 1139, there was actually a European that came over here. His grave is in Vermont. But even before that, you had Africans who came over here and set up posts and traded. They traded things, silks, stuff like that, with the natives here. And the natives here traded tobacco and sugar. Tobacco and sugar are indigenous to the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
It's not indigenous to anywhere else but the Americas. It's like the palm tree. The palm tree is indigenous to the Americas. So anywhere you go in the world and see a palm tree, that means that somebody has brought the palms to the Americas, I mean to that area.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that also was that, you know, other people brought over. When Ponce de Leon came over here and he was searching, Biggie, you said you're from Peru, right?
Yeah, I'm from Peru, correct.
So you know about the story of Ponce de Leon looking for the Fountain of Youth?
Yeah, the Fountain of Youth, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he went into Peru and actually found an Asian village.
I believe that.
I believe that too.
And with that in itself being said, he's come across the Asian people from over there, like Hawaii. You go to Hawaii, most of the people in Polynesians are Asian. They call them Melanesian. A lot of them came over as well. So it wasn't just through route, but it was through trade. A lot of people
mm-hmm.
came over, and the United States, and what we know today as current America, was a place of trade.
Almost
and
like
yeah.
a cross, like a crossroads, kind of a crossroads for the world, basically.
Right.
Uh huh.
And they were able to trade things, and they had been doing this for thousands of years, long
mm-hmm.
before the Europeans came over. The story of Christopher Columbus trying to find a new route to India was not a true story, because the people that he took with him were Moors. And do y'all
uh-huh.
know the history of the Moors?
I do.
They were navigators. They not just the Moors that, you know, went through Europe and everything, but also the Moors that they did the navigation.
They
navigated between the Americas. Right. When Christopher Columbus came over here, have you guys read any of his documents that he's written?
I've read a few, you know, but yeah, go ahead and enlighten us more if you would.
Yeah, I'm having fun listening.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
right.
I have too.
See,
I feel like I'm bouncing
all over the place.
Oh no, you're doing great.
Focused, but In one of his documents, he put that when he came across the Arawak, the natives, the Arawak natives in Venezuela,
mm-hmm.
or not Venezuela, but what is it, San Salvador?
Yes,
in Central America.
Where he met, where, this was where he first landed.
Or Colombia, San Salvador.
San Salvador.
San Salvador, yeah.
Yeah, that's around where the Caribbean is now.
Yes. Yep. He actually documented that the people that he had came across looked just like the Ethiopians. Now, the thing is, at one time, prior to the early 1800s, the whole continent of Africa was called Ethiopia. The Atlantic Ocean was called the Ethiopian Sea. And they... So he compared them to the same people that was over there. They heard the story of El Dorado. That's what the Spaniards called it, El Dorado. Right?
The city of gold.
City of gold. Yeah.
City of gold.
Mm-hmm.
The natives, the ones that he came across, they called it Montezuma. So that was another part. But anyway, like I said, I'm just diverging here. Sorry. So
well, no, that's okay. That's okay.
All right. So with the Africans and the Asians that came over here, where they would meet, there was routes. They had routes because you know everybody was pretty much based on the following rivers. Everybody did, you know, most people who were civilized, you know, most people who built places, they built it around a body of water. And,
well, those are the highways of the old world, you know. Those are the highways of
right.
that time.
So going through, you know, coming from this part, when they came over here, when the European came over here, he realized that the native was pretty dark. But some of them had a lot of Asian features. The further west you go, they had Asian features. Cultures and everything was different based on the time and distance of the area. So a lot of people do traditions that's based off of the plain Indians, right?
Mm-hmm. You were talking about the rooster dance.
The rooster dance, yes. Mm-hmm. The rooster dance. Other native cultures had different celebrations and different ways that they did their ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
But due to something called racial reclassification,
mm-hmm.
with racial reclassification, it kind of disbanded a lot of the traditions because a lot of the people, a lot of the natives were separated and wasn't given the traditions that they had, the traditions that was given to them, that was theirs. When I say that, it is because whenever they went in to attack, they used natives as slaves. They enslaved the Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It was the Native Americans that they used to enslave. So they used a group of natives to enslave another group of natives.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did that, they had these, they usually kill off the warriors. They killed off the warriors. They killed off the elders. And they basically had young women and children. So they didn't want them to learn anything about their culture, and they did what they called civilized them. So they tried to force them into learning English. And
the white man's ways.
Right. They called them civilizing them. And when they did that, I mean they would literally beat the kids like, if any of the kids could speak the language, they would beat the kid and tell him, do not,
they would
do
beat
not
it out
speak
of
that
them.
Language in here.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Right.
So a lot of natives started losing the knowledge of who they were based off of that, because if you do it enough times within a couple generations and you don't keep your traditional aspect of your family or your life, what happens is people lose it. And it was they've been doing this for a couple of hundred years before
they
even went far west.
But they don't know there was a few that remembered regardless.
Oh yeah.
And
there's going to be a few that remember.
Mm-hmm.
And
they just
knew
they had to keep their mouth shut.
Right. Right. And
so
when they go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, so you can talk about this whenever you want to, but I wanted to kind of talk about the purpose of racial classification and how it was used to kind of take away the identity of the Native Americans. I think you're probably working up to that, but
yeah, hold that thought for one
second.
Yeah,
that's what I was
okay.
working up to.
Hold that thought one second, because
all right.
It was curious, you know, so you can give him a little break too. So he's been kind of going there, give him a little time to catch his breath. I love the information we're getting.
Right.
But, you know, it's really interesting when he talked about how Ponce de Leon went to Peru and saw the Asian culture there. And if you go to Peru, well, I'm from Peru. If you go to certain regions of Peru, there's a lot of people who look Siberian.
Yes.
A lot of people who look very Asian. I mean, to distinctively that way. And there's also cross-culturing, too. If you go to Japan, the same architectural designs that they have in Machu Picchu, the laying of the stones without mortar, are found in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So, who's, you know, like when he mentioned that Christopher Columbus was finding a new route, trade route, that means that there was already routes. You know, the key word was looking for
new
trade routes.
Yeah.
So that means that there was already something there established. But you know, but no one, history is written by the people who are in power, which I find really one of those things, one of those moments. But in Peru is really interesting because we're a diverse culture. And let's take us back into modern times now. Let's just jump forward. There's a whole village in Peru, a whole little town of German-speaking people, okay? All right? That's all they speak is German. They don't speak Spanish. They don't speak the native tongue. They speak German. They
took
a whole village.
Are they recent arrivals there?
Since World War II, they moved a whole village and they just relocated in Peru up in a certain village area. And that's all they have. They have their little village there. So this is historically what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when he said he found the Asians there. You know, 1,000 years from now, those people may still be around, you know, and their history is from a war. So
sure. And their descendants. You know, wherever people meet, they do one of two things, or maybe they do both of them. They either fight each other or they intermingle and intermate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so those things have both happened, and you can just see it, as James was saying, you know, with the darker Native Americans that we don't really hear about. The image we get, as he said, is mostly from the movies of Italians and people like that who played the stereotypical Native American.
Yeah, now go down to the coast in my country. You go down to the coast where I'm from, there's a whole European settlement there of Italians, you know, people from, you know, France, all over in La Punta.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the people from there have Italian descendancy. Okay? And, you know, so there's a lot of history, you know, that moves through the world.
Right.
Now, what makes it really interesting is a lot of the history that James is talking about is lost recorded history, you know, and people laying claim to that history.
Right.
You know, the Moors, for example, you know, they went into Spain, you know, and they were there for a long time.
Right.
People don't realize that, you know, so that's why you have the cross-culturing and the cross-pollinization of people and the way they come out. So I find it beautiful. I love history because history is relative to the person who is writing it. So, you know, and the history that we were taught in school is not accurate.
Eurocentric in our history.
Yes.
We're always about Europe, but there's an Afrocentric kind of history, and there's an Asia-centric kind of history.
Yes.
I mean, each culture has its own story to tell.
Absolutely. I mean, they found ruins just recently, in the last 5 years, of Egyptian, you know, caves, dwellings, and golds, and hieroglyphs, you know, just recently, you know. So, you know, I don't buy into the Christopher Columbus was, you know, he rediscovered something that was already here.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, he did.
Sorry, Chris, but hey, hate to break the news to you.
Yeah.
It's 2015. You didn't find anything, but it was already here.
Right.
So let's take a little break real quick. We'll come right back, okay? So we can all catch our breath.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
And we're back on Blog Talk Radio here, talking with my friend and scholar, James Ramsey. And you might want to grab a piece of paper and a pen if you haven't already, because we're going to cover some things that you might want to research later and look into. You know, everything, that's the way it is now. We need to research all of our information and double check it and triple check it just to be sure that we've, you know, that we're on the right track. So I'm going to turn it back over to James, and you can just continue where you left off and take us where you want.
Go ahead. I wanted to add something right quick. You might want to check, too, sometime in the future. In Africa, there has been found an Asian village right on the coast of, I believe it's West Africa. So that's something that people don't know either. And then they have intermingled with some of the like an African tribe or something there. But there's an ancient Asian village there in Africa. So that's an FYI.
Yeah, and Peruvians, they also settled Seattle, Washington. People don't realize that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, see, I'm beginning to doubt the whole Marco Polo thing now. So, hey.
Marco Polo.
The right, Europeans gave us what they wanted us to know.
Right.
Right.
Because there's a lot of stuff about India also that they wanted us to know that I have gotten history from people of India, mm-hmm. A different story than what I was taught in school. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, James, take us away.
Back to you. Yes.
All right. Well, just to add on to what you guys were saying, we know about the mound builders and the pyramid builders, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the pyramid, you know, they have pyramids in Mississippi. They have a few pyramids. They found a few pyramids in other places in the U.S., as well as, you know, South America and everything. And but with racial reclassification, okay, so the way it happened, the reason for racial reclassification was based off of a law that was written in the mid-13th century by some kings. And with this law, it stated that no person can come to your land and stake claim on your land, right?
Mm-hmm.
With that law, when I say that, that was, you know, you can't be sitting in your house, or say you have, you know, you have 15 acres of land, and some strange guy just roll up to your house, or a Christopher Columbus come to your house and say, well, we're going to claim this land for Spain. They couldn't do that under this law, the Magna Carta. And that law was universal. It was a universal law. So what they did was they took, and you've heard about the Indian Removal Acts, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice I said acts more than one, plural, because it's happened several times. What they did was they would move people off the land and then stake the claim as a abandonment law. We actually have a law in the United States called an abandonment law. They'll watch the land for, you know, these guys, they moved them, so they knew they wasn't coming back and build cities and whatever on them. But they would be on them for a certain amount of time and then go in and file documents to say that this land has been abandoned. It was a way that they could expand their way all the way through the U.S. The racial reclassification law started during the colonies in Virginia. And it It was, I'm sorry, give me a second here.
Sure.
And it was due to, the, it was due to trying to classify people, period. And they do this a lot. Like, people that come over from Northern Africa, whether you're Ethiopian, whether you're Somalian, or anything like that, they will classify you as white, no matter how dark you are, just if you're from Northern Africa. So this was a law that they put in place. The racial reclassification was actually a law. There was a, it's because of the land. There was a incident. Give me a second here. Let me see if I can pull this incident up, okay?
Sure.
But in this incident, what happened was that there were some slaves that they wanted to, they felt that they was illegally being enslaved because their mother was Native. Their mother were Native American, and they had a, and they had felt that it was unlawful for them to do it. So what happened was there was a, so it, what happened was that they had a guy fight for him. Under this law was based off of the Indian, they called it the Indian slavery in Virginia, and this law was based off of it. In 1772, George Mason, later famous as the father of the Bill of Rights, so he was the one that later, you know, helped to construct the Bill of Rights.
He was the one fighting for him?
He fought for the natives, yep. And one of the natives, he represented a slave named Robin and 11 other enslaved plaintiffs in the General Court of Virginia. So when he did that, and I want you to understand that the thing about the black and white, it didn't happen until way later. But there was a reason why they did have white people. And it's gonna be something probably that will have you going, right?
Yeah.
With the Native Americans, but the, when they, what they did was in this, in this battle that he had, the Natives actually won. But with, through that, what they did was they said, well, let's classify these particular guys here, these Natives here, as white, because they was already Christian.
Okay.
Right?
That now, makes
during,
sense, yep.
During that time period, they had, in order for you to understand what white was, to be white was to be Christian. So if you was from Turkey and a Muslim, you were considered not, if you were not Christian and you was a Muslim, you was considered Negro. If you was from England or from Scotland and was not Christian, you were still considered Negro. They didn't put Christian and they didn't put white as of the way that we look at it as a race, but they put it as according to your beliefs. There was a lot of Africans during slavery that when they came over here was set free because they was Christian before they were slaves. So they was written that they was written down as white.
You're blowing the mind, James.
Yeah.
Again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Yeah. It's good.
They were Christian.
Your mind this time.
Singing Eagle there. Okay.
So when it came to dealing with that type of when it came to understanding the classification of people, that's how they classified them. They started, as they started gaining more territory because it was becoming more and more people on this territory, and it was only a small strip of land, you know, mm-hmm. compared to all the people that was getting access to it. So they had to figure out a way to get access to the rest of the land. What they did was they created a group of people. If you're a native and you go through, what happens? If you're a native and you say, well, this is my country, this is my land right here, this is my country, but I'll sign this treaty and I'll give you some of this land, mm-hmm. right? What they did was they created a group of natives called the Five Civilized Tribes. And within the Five Civilized Tribes, the predominant tribe, who was known as the Cherokee Nation, was the tribe that everybody ended up funneling up. Because now, you know, you became a Cherokee. You know, you're part of that nation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with understanding about the Cherokee Nation, they were not a real nation. They were a strawman nation.
Okay.
Now, why do you say that? Can you give us an example or a reason why that's true?
Well, the Cherokee Nation, the word Cherokee itself is not a Native American word.
Okay.
So with the Cherokee Nation, you can't be, that's like Iggy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Iggy
mm-hmm.
is from Peru. He's Peruvian. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we know where Peru is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But and you're indigenous, right?
Yes.
So the tribe that you come from has a language?
Yes.
And through history, your language probably became a little bit more Spanish sounding, but it was. But you still probably have your language.
Well, we speak Quechua. We speak Quechua, which was actually the second language in Peru, which was spoken by the Incas. It's one of those last, you know, languages. But I know where you're going with this. Go ahead.
So, right, and then they didn't have a language. They didn't have a culture, but they created a language and a culture. Racial reclassification reclassified poor Irish and poor people who was coming under indentured servitude, French, Irish, whatever that class was. They reclassified them as natives under the Cherokee banner.
Oh, so that's how they would kind of enhance their roles of the people, you know, the amount of people that were in this nation, this tribe that they're creating.
Right, and it was because during slavery, there was a large period of slavery. There was a large period of during slavery where, you know, there was a lot of European slaves, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not just indentured servants, because during that period of indentured servitude, everybody that was enslaved was an indentured servant. But there was an actual point where slavery itself, once slavery became, you know, you are my property, and you're going to be indebted, you're going to be enslaved to me for however long I want to keep you. They had European slaves. They had European
yeah.
slaves. They had Native slaves. They had very few African slaves on the U.S. in the U.S. Very few. But so they needed a place to put, because so many people was coming to the country, and they only had a small strip of land. They needed to put people in other places. So what they would do is they created a tribe called the Cherokee Nation. It was actually the chief of the Cherokee Nation was actually a Frenchman. They gave him two different names, two different features, you know. They did the Cleopatra thing, where if you go to Greece, you see a picture of Cleopatra, she looks Greek. But when you go to Egypt, she looks Egyptian, right?
Yeah.
They did the same thing to him.
Christ.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did that, you know, they it allowed for them to go and start taking territory.
So I'm going to just now I just wanted to say that this this person that you're talking about, this Frenchman who basically was the first chief of the Cherokee, he also was one of our constitutional presidents before there was an actual George Washington. After the Constitution was ratified, he was in the Continental Congress and was one of those presidents of the Congress.
What was his name?
What was his name, James?
His name was he wrote a book called A Star in the West. What's his name?
Well, no, his name's not Iggy Garcia, so.
And while James is looking that up, this Star in the West is a book that proposes that the 13th tribe of Israel came to America and was...
Right.
Right.
As he's looking for that. I find it interesting because we're part of a group, too, mm-hmm. called the Nemenha, which
right.
is kind of an indigenous group of people that come together as an intertribal group. So the story sounds very similar, very familiar.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to bring back cultures, bring back ideas, and, you know, and reclaim things that have been lost.
Right.
So
yeah.
it sounds like, you know, that's why you see a lot of Appalachian area has a lot of the indigenous peoples in the way. A lot of Cherokees who were removed stayed in Appalachian. They stayed with the Irish states. They stayed in those areas, and they moved on. And it was just really interesting, you know, how history is created.
Yeah. Well, you know, they were also put disbanded natives from other tribes that had been
mm-hmm. yeah.
wiped out, and they put them in the Cherokee Nation, too, you know,
yeah.
to give it.
Yes, they would.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Cherokees
okay.
are one of the biggest groups that had slaves, too. People don't realize that.
Oh, really?
They actually
had
black
slaves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and then they had to...
Here's his name.
Okay.
His name is Elias Boudinot.
Elias
How do you
Boudinot.
Spell Boudinot?
That's a Boudinot.
Okay, great.
No.
Little homework there. All right.
No, it's always good.
And he was actually a president before George Washington.
Mm-hmm.
He just wasn't president under the Constitution. But they had held what was known as a Continental Congress, and there was actually, I believe, 12 people who was president prior to the Constitutional, prior to the Constitution. So with racial reclassification, it gave them a means to be able to stake claim to things that didn't belong to them. Now, granted, when you look at how you can actually obtain land by war, correct?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
When they didn't have enough power to do that. They didn't. The only way they could get land, obtain land, is use natives. Now, this is my own personal thought, because I know that, you know, natives, they all spoke a different language, but they knew about each other. I believe there may have been a civil war going on amongst the natives, and the European actually was able to capitalize on that.
Okay.
So that's
yeah.
how they ended up with so many slaves and was able to move them, because the natives themselves, there was natives who was fighting against each other. There's a story with the Apache that, you know, the Apache and the Mexican had been in wars for a long time with each other, but they're brothers. Their story parallels the same as Isaac and Jacob. They come from the same mother, twins in the same womb.
Yeah.
Right.
But when it came out, they ended up becoming bitter enemies.
Interesting.
So, but back to racial reclassification. So, there's a point in time from the 1700s all the way up to 1930, they were still reclassifying natives. So, the darker you were, if you was 100% Native American, if you said that you was Native, and they would the census, and you told the census taker, "I'm Native," they would arrest you and put you in jail and classify you as Negro. But if you say you were Irish and you gave him $5, he would classify you as Native. That's where you get the term the $5 Indian.
Yeah. So they actually had badges and the authority to take you into custody as soon as you answered that question, right?
Yes, they did.
Wow.
Yes, they did.
That explains why a lot of people with Native American descent can't go back too far without finding that their great great grandmother or father was listed in the census as white or mulatto or something along those lines.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now that was a big common thing then. If you was fair skinned. When I say fair skin, if your skin was as a fair skin, like more caramel complected, you look more Dominican or Puerto Rican, even though they were still on their island. But if you look like them, they would classify you as mulatto.
Mm-hmm.
And the word mulatto, from that time all the way up until the 1930s, actually meant that it was a person who was either Native American and was a darker color, or was half Native and half black, or half Native and half white. But usually when they do the half Native and half white, they'll just make them white. But when it came to dealing with the black-white issue, if your mother was white and your father's black, you was on your birth certificate, they would write you down as white. If your mother was black and your father was white, they would write you down as black. So they didn't distinguish the two because of the racial diversity. It was becoming very, very diverse then. And they actually sat in Congress and tried to figure out how were they going to classify people.
Mm-hmm. Then they came up with the thing, if you've got one drop of black blood, then you were black.
Exactly. The quantum blood
down the road. That means we got a whole lot of black folk running around nowadays. More than wasn't counted.
Hey, brother. Hey, sister.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that is how that racial reclass. That's why when you see Native Americans now, if you see When you the further west you go, the more Asian they look, was because of the Chinese influence or the Asian influence from many moons ago. And the further east you are, the more African they look. So when you meet them right in the middle, you'll see a really nice mix of the people. And if I was there now, I would show you some pictures, but you could see it big time in my family.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, we can.
Yeah, you can see it big time in my family. You can see the full mix. I showed Dave. He would tell you.
Oh, yeah.
James, let me ask you a question.
If you look at a picture of mine, you would see it too.
James, let me ask you a question. What do you think about America now, today, where it's at? The future.
I think that, and I was in a discussion with this man about 20 years ago, and he said that he said when you look at America in the next 20 years, now this was about 20 years ago, he said most of the people are going to look like they're from Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, and then in another 100 years, everybody's going to look that way because of the diversity. Now, as it stands with what needs to be done in America, what we have to do is we have to teach truth, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop looking at everything through one side, because there's more than one person, one type of person on this continent. We have people who are not all, like, you know, in high school when they taught you history, American history, they would talk about, you know, before they even go to the industrial period, they would talk about the Germans, the Irish people that came over and the way that they started establishing cities. They'll tell you about the French that came over, how they started establishing cities, how they met the natives. And then after that, they'll tell you how savage the natives was.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And they weren't savage.
And they weren't savage at all. These people could heal you.
They had beautiful cultures.
Exactly. Yep. And then they'll say, well, then sometime down the road, we decided we're going to bring Africans over here. And then we know that Africans were enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't talk about, you know, it didn't give you a full idea of the actual, of what the people had done to create this country. But it always, like Iggy said, that history is written by the winners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
History is written by the ones the people who won the war. If we can actually be able to accept the truth, because there's people out there that'll be like, oh no, I can't believe that. I like the old history. I like the history that we were taught.
I met
those
people.
That's why it's called his story.
His story, not yours.
That's why it's called his story. Exactly. We would begin to have a better dialogue with each other. We could begin to understand our culture. We could develop a new culture.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going to Germantown, instead of going to Chinatown, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of going to this place, we would all have a place to go. My family in New York, I have cousins with blonde hair and blue eyes.
Hello.
Yeah. Katy's very ethnically diverse as well. So, yeah, you know, and I think you're right. You know, we say we're a melting pot, but really we kind of puddle off into little corners and establish little enclaves of, you know, this is a real white area, this is a real black area, this is a real Italian area, this is a real, you know what I'm saying?
This is an us area.
Yeah. But if we understood just where we all came from and how interrelated and interconnected our backgrounds are and how that happened, then I think that would be opening a lot of people's eyes to maybe some things they don't want to see, but that they need to see to face the truth.
And it's fear, too. People
right.
are fearful of things that they don't know or want to know. You know what I mean?
Right.
For some people, it's very fearful to think that they're Hispanic or Native American or black, or black person
right.
think that they're white.
That's not what Mom told me.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's because it's their history. They've been told something, and you know, they own it. And so they hold on
mm-hmm.
to this belief system for a while, and then when someone comes and say, hey, that's not how it was, you know, actually the Martians came from outer space and they were here first. You know,
it's about it. It's about that mind blowing for
yeah,
people.
For some
too,
people, it's really, I've met
yeah.
those people.
Mm-hmm.
I met them and, you know,
like,
they have festivals over it.
Yeah.
Christopher
you know,
Columbus
you know,
discovered.
Carnival, yeah.
Carnival, yeah.
You know Carnival, right?
Yeah, Carnival, yeah. Uh-huh.
You guys heard of Carnival? You know, that's a Native American tradition.
Yeah, we dance the drum. When I play the whistle, we do the Carnival, you know?
Yeah, Carnival. And
yeah.
It's Native. You know,
yep.
it was you know, some of the African and some of the Catholic systems came within it because, you know, it's like the Mardi Gras, you know?
Yep.
It's a Catholic... It's an actual Catholic holiday that was created, that was, I guess, not created, but legalized or seen as a celebration during those times that people carried on as traditions, but it was actually a Native American tradition. There's a lot of things within the cultures of the people that, you know, you can see, like, for example, you know, when, like, I was speaking with my wife's sister had passed, and she had, and one of her sisters who who work in that field was talking to me, and she said she wanted to open the window, but the window didn't open. But she wanted to open the window to release the spirit. And she said, yeah, she does it all the time. Ever since she started working at a job, that's what she was taught, to open the window to release the spirit. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What that is that's a tradition that stemmed from somewhere.
Yes.
You see?
Yeah.
And it had to do with us being able to free the ancestor so that the ancestor can become part of the whole. That energy of the ancestor be able to connect with us and not be captured in that little room. But that's
and
where,
well, you may not know where that came from either. It may be, you know, but you're doing it because that's what you're taught.
It's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like the lore of the black cat. Where did it come from? you look back in your family history and you can find things and you'll say, wait a minute, where did this come from?
Well, even holidays, holidays like Christmas, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, those are holidays that have been assimilated, but they came out of other things, you know.
Yeah. The
pilgrims were starving, you know, so
yeah.
They were fed by the natives who were here. It wasn't the other way around. They make you sound like, oh, well, we fed the natives. But it wasn't that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They were going to eat themselves.
Yeah. And now here's a good part of history that a lot of people don't talk about. Now, this is something... I was telling Dave, I told him, I said, I took this history class, this one particular history class. I'm always taking history class. But I took this one particular history class because I wanted to see if this woman knew what she was talking about. And my God, she had, every time I'm sitting here and I'm studying, my mouth was hanging open. She really hit the nail on the head. She was talking about the economic reasons for it, for slavery. She was talking about the traditional things. Like, you know, the first, our Wall Street in the United States and in Europe was created for five things that came to and from America.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, one was sugar.
Mm-hmm.
One was tobacco, the other was cocoa, one was coffee, and the last was slavery.
That's the economic foundation of America right there.
That's the economic foundation of the world. I'll tell you right now.
Okay.
Exactly.
Slavery is not gone.
No.
People think slavery is over. It's not. It's absolutely not.
It happens.
It's still here, live and well.
It's still here.
A lot of trafficking.
I will tell you right now, in a lot of South American countries, there are people who live like slaves, are treated like slaves, second-class citizens, and they have no rights, you know. And people know that. And I'll tell you, in Peru, there are people who can afford to have 3 or 5 servants working, living in a house because of the economy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's their property.
It's a bot slavery per se versus, you know, it's economic.
Mm-hmm.
They have to work.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get paid anything. That's slavery to me. I mean, when you're getting paid pennies,
that is slavery.
That's slavery.
Well, James was telling me too that, you know, the average slave wasn't a cheap thing. You go up and say, I'll pay $5 for that slave. It was quite an investment, you know. So if they could find a way to get slaves for free or for very low price, say take over a people and bring them into slavery, they would do that because it makes economic sense.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep, so that's where they did that with a lot of the natives here. See, import-export is always expensive.
Right.
So they was paying a lot of money for the African slaves that they brought over here. So like you said, they wouldn't abuse them the way that they made you believe they abused them to that extent. The ones that they bought, they purchased, they would use them to produce slaves, to produce children that, you know, in slavery. But there was also the natives that they had over here.
Mm-hmm.
So they wasn't importing anything. They basically would capture what they called a band. Over here they call them bands or tribes or villages.
Yeah.
You know, they would capture them and keep them on the land and bring someone in and have them run them.
Yeah.
So there wasn't an appreciation for the natives. So they did. They hung them on trees. They beat them and told them they was from Africa.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's true. Even in Ohio, we've had, you know, lands that were taken over. He mentioned that earlier, how they were occupied lands and mm-hmm. just taken from people and just pushed them out. And they were actually taking children, too, and assimilating them into a culture, creating a culture of obedience, basically, where it was.
Right.
They would just strip them of their identity. And this was all over. And they created schools like this.
Mm-hmm.
And they would take Native American mm-hmm. children and just totally wipe them. Brainwashing.
Right.
It was the first children's services,
yeah.
for example, you know. I hate yeah. to say it like that, but...
We're going
to
Christianize you. We're going to take you out of this savage environment and
yeah.
put you in a civilized environment. You'll wear the clothes of the white person. Yep.
Yeah.
And you'll learn... You know, the
yeah.
natives in Alaska, fared a little bit better just because of the more modern times that they live in. But similar things happened there. You know, the natives in Alaska have lost a lot of their culture. Languages are gone. Oral
mm-hmm.
traditions are gone. You know, they're trying to keep that alive as much as they can, but you know, that's what happens when a more dominant culture comes over and imposes itself on the indigenous people of an area.
And we had this conversation earlier,
mm-hmm.
David. We were talking about the people who have the power and the weaponry and you know, the force, the might,
right,
tend to have the advantage, you know,
mm-hmm.
over people who have sticks
yeah.
and stones, you know. And so, you know, that makes, I mean, you can see that example right now. When you look over at the Middle East right now, you look over there, you'll see the colonization that's going on there and the crusade, the battle, you know, for who's right, who's wrong.
Right.
But inside
yeah.
that, there's slavery going on. There's people being abused. There's on both ends. We don't see it because the news doesn't, it's not profitable to show that. It's not cool to show that. It's only cool to show
right.
that, oh, yeah, these guys are going to lose their head. But there's a reason they're losing their head. There's a reason people are angry. We talked about the children, why they feel the way they do. They're when you grow up in an environment of being persecuted and genocidal, you know, and there's all kinds of things happening to you, well, it's hard for you to forget, you know,
yeah.
that somebody, you know, is bombing your family. We had this conversation about the
right.
Japanese when we dropped two of the A-bombs on Japan. Do you think those people, a lot of people forgot?
No,
they haven't forgotten. We stripped
no.
them of, you told them that we stripped them of an army, but they can have a defense force in their country.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, who's setting the rules here? When you start to look at it, you start to follow the money, you start to follow the paper trail, you start to see who... Who are the players?
Who's profiting from it?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. You also got to remember they was putting them in concentration camps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I left
yeah.
that out.
That's a whole other thing, right? Yeah, that's a whole aspect of it.
Well, the modern slavery here in America is prisons.
Yeah.
See,
you never thought about that.
Because under the Constitution, prisoners don't have the same right as people who are not in prison.
Right.
There's a constitutional thing there. So they don't pay them like they should, like, you know, they would here, like they would pay us
right.
to do things. So they basically get in free labor. What is it, $28 a month? Something like that?
Mm-hmm. Those are basically
for the labor that they do?
Yeah. You
and
know,
they,
and, we, and we're
they force
we're set
to work.
And we're such a country of laws and laws and laws. You know that we have the largest prison population of
yeah,
any country
the
in the world, by far.
Yep.
It's a growth industry.
A friend of mine told me about the music industry a while ago. He told me a story about how they created a culture, a rap culture, of, you know, gangbanging and thugging,
mm-hmm.
in order to create...
Mm-hmm.
To create this
to create
environment.
A criminal element
yes.
of in the black population.
So they could put people in jail so they could have a workforce that doesn't, they don't have to pay very much.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this is, I don't know how
yeah.
true that is, but, you know, that's what I've been told.
It rings
it's
true.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
listen, I'm going to give you an insight on music, on the musical industry.
Bless you.
You know about frequencies, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I do.
And you know how frequency can... How frequency can you can use frequency to manipulate people?
Yes, you
yeah.
can
manipulate items. Okay, so in hip hop, they use this drum. It's not really a drum. It's not even an instrument. It's a frequency machine. It's called
mm-hmm.
an 808.
808 drum.
The 808, and it's a frequency machine. You could get it sounds like music, but what it does is it taps into your system.
Mm-hmm.
And when it taps into your system, it has that control. It starts controlling. So you add that on top of the lyrics, because words can control you too. Words are just like spells.
Absolutely.
They can control you. And then add alcohol.
Not just any alcohol. Special
you have to
alcohol
have the
that's
lowest
only
of the
sold
load
in those neighborhoods.
Exactly.
And there's cigarettes pops only sold in those neighborhoods.
That's right.
And there's junk food that's only sold in certain neighborhoods.
Yes, it is.
So, when you put all that stuff together, what do you have?
Yep.
A cocktail.
You have a set of people you can control, keep them in a certain environment, set them up for failure, and what's going to happen? You have an unlimited amount of free slave labor. Remember, prisons are created by private corporations.
Yep.
Now swing it the other way. Now you have the whole other group too that is brainwashed the other way, not to be that. And then they have their music too that puts them in their box. So, whoever's playing this big orchestra knows very well what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they're polarizing.
They polarize it. Yes.
Yep. And they've
that's control too.
They kind of keep the other side of that is they keep us involved with this hillbilly culture and this kind of don't think about this, don't think about that, get all involved in, don't let your higher intellect activate, just go ahead and watch this mindless drivel on television or whatever, we call it entertainment, but really it's just pablum that comes out of our TV and
so it goes both
reality
ways.
Television.
Our government, study
frequency
for years. They used it against the Russians.
Mind control has gone back a long way and the study of it goes very far. It's both advertising and, politics and all the ways that we get spoken to through the media, is the end result is they want to control our behavior.
And they do control our behavior because I guarantee you right now, if you were to walk down a dark alley and there was a white guy there, you'd react completely different if it was a black guy or Hispanic
exactly
guy. I know that for
yep
a fact
yep
because I've seen
and he'd
it
react differently because
yes
he's, oh, I'm a white guy.
And you know what? That's conditioning and that's training and that's something that they show
mm-hmm
you. And that you pick up by
the
TV,
movies
or whatever, it's even the funny aspects of it too are funny. Only the black people get killed. No, you don't see black people get killed. You only see the white people get killed because they're too stupid to run out of the horror movies. So there's these stereotypes that we create and on a subconscious level, we start to go, I wonder if that's true. We don't say that to ourselves, but we start to wonder, but I think we're changing a little bit. I think we're starting to move into another paradigm where we're actually shifting from that a little. It's going to take some time.
Yeah.
Because we just came out of some serious stuff, in the time when, there was people were fighting for freedoms for all peoples, not just black people, for everybody who was enslaved by the system.
Right. We are, when the veil becomes visible, when the veil lifts and what's really going on becomes visible, it's going to push back harder just because it wants to maintain its power. So, we can see it. It can see us, and that's where you really begin to get change going on, one way or the other. You get
mm-hmm
when things become when the gloves come off, and we can actually look at things and see them as they are.
Yeah,
that's when you can start to make
a good example. Someone asked me, "Well, what is that?" Well, you ever see the movie The Terminator, Skynet?
Yeah,
there is nobody mm-hmm controlling anything except the computer systems and the systems that we create to take care of us. It's all those things that we're creating that, we're starting to be dependent on things.
Self-sustaining. Kind of, yeah.
We create these programs, these things to take care of us, traffic lights, whatever, satellites. There's no more human interaction like we used to have. But we interact, but in a different way. Everybody's got cell phones now. You can see kids walking, their heads down, walking down the street and still be able to walk on the sidewalk without getting hit by a car.
We've got all this information, but we can't. Don't know how to think. We don't know how to process it. We don't know how to critically analyze the information we're getting, so we can tell truth from deception.
So is it the so-called Illuminati? No, it's Skynet we created. It's this system that we created that's enslaving us,
mm-hmm,
all of us.
Right, right,
right.
The truth.
It's only two classes, right? You have the rich and the poor. As they say, you only have two races. You have rich and poor. So
yeah,
with those two races, the rich is going to get richer, and they're going to figure out a way to keep you poor.
keep
yeah.
you
right.
keep you just poor enough so you can still buy with what they make, but you don't
right.
have enough resources to lift yourself up and to bring others along and to gain your own control.
Well, they even discourage you to go that far.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's only for a selected few.
Yeah, you know what? Just get a credit card. It'll take care of it,
yeah.
you know?
I mean, all the patterns mm-hmm. are there. Everything. All the evidence is before us. Mm-hmm. When we start to dig it up, when we start to look, and we start to, you know, unravel it, you know, it's there. You know, we have more millionaires in this
right.
country than anywhere else in the world. You know, people don't realize
right.
that.
That's true.
And we're a service-oriented country. More than we don't produce anything. You, tell me something we produce
yeah.
right now.
Prisoners?
Prisoners. There you go. We produce slaves.
James,
yeah.
you were going to say
prisoners.
You were going to say something. I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead and say what you need to say, bro.
Oh no, oh no. I was just pretty much agreeing with Iggy. Yeah, you're right. You know, the prison system. That the people that the what we produce are millionaires, but. The millionaires have all been produced off of the blood, sweat, and tears of others.
Yep,
that's too bad.
We are, and you know, we have blinders on. They put blinders on it. The whole idea that they used, that they do, is nothing but programmers, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you watch TV, what are you watching? A program.
Programming, right.
That's what it's called.
When you go to school, they're programming. So we're going through this thing of mindless thought to keep us all our minds. They want our minds to stay amalgamated because they want to produce more. They want to. They're literally using the beehive effect. You know, there's a few bees on top that's in control, and all the rest of the bees are worker bees.
Right.
You see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how
mm-hmm.
they keep it. But in order to keep that type of control, they want to put up illusions. So they want you to believe in the race of black or white. Last time I checked, though, a race was the first person to get to another place, right?
Yeah.
Between a group of people, the first person to get somewhere. But they tell you that race is something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Spellcasting.
You know. But we can speak the truth. We can speak truth to power, and we're beginning to see it. So, you know, I'm glad you're here speaking your truth tonight, James, and you've inspired us and given us a lot to think about here.
Yeah.
And just God bless you.
Yeah, I'd like to have him back. I'd like to have you back on too on another date.
You'd like to have him back on?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is great information. Yeah, because there's a lot we can cover, and you know, 90 minutes isn't enough.
Mm.
But yeah, and James has opened my mind to
right.
possibilities and things that are true and things that, you know, how it's interpreted. So it's always good. It's always good to have the meeting of the minds and understanding.
Right.
That's how we learn. That's
yes,
how we evolve. That's how we advance as
mm-hmm.
a culture. You know, because, you know, America is a culture developing, even in our short period that we've been here. We've had that conversation
mm-hmm.
where, you know, America doesn't have the rite of passages that other countries may have
right.
or other cultures have.
We haven't had endless wars on our own soil to defend it. We have,
yeah.
you know, we've been kind of
mm-hmm.
had a cushy time here. But, you know, it's time for us to take control of our own destiny back from, you know, the controllers, so to speak. You know, not that they're evil people, but we've let them take us too far. So, you know, the shift is coming.
Yes, it
yeah,
is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it is. We're going into the age of the knowing, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. The revelation.
I think James would have a great, great, great show.
About,
here.
I'm glad
thanks
you said
lot,
what you did about music, though. Because
it
I never liked rap music or that kind of hard music.
Oh, really?
It needs to be said. It needs to be said. You know that's what's going on, and it's not just black people listening to it. You've got white people listening to it. You've got, you know, because
mm-hmm.
it sucks you in, and it gives you that you know, it gives you that feeling like, you know, I'm bad. I've got, you know, I've got it's me against the world or whatever. So, you know, when really, you know, we're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
You know, when this planet blows up. Newsflash, we're all gone together.
Yeah. Nobody's going to be, yeah.
I don't care how many million dollars you
there's
got.
There's no special island somewhere. That
If there's an Earth 2 that I don't know
that's
about.
That's probably why they're trying to go to Mars and Venus and stuff like that, because they know if this Earth blow up, they're going with us.
Yeah, the rich people will try to get out of here.
Yeah, so the next time I come on, I'd like to get more into the traditions of the North American natives.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a lot of good information on that as well.
All right. Let's do this. Let's bring you in maybe next month, and you can talk about the Native American traditions. Yeah, because we're almost running out of time here, and I don't want to have you start on a topic that probably needs a little more time to explain. And I'll talk to David. I'll talk to you. You guys will figure it out. I'd like to have you as like a host that pops in from time to time and just shares thoughts. You know, because I like the information you're sharing. And but I want to thank you for being on tonight with us.
Absolutely,
powerful
yeah.
information.
Yes.
I would like to thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a real eye opener, at least for us, and I hope for the people who are listening. Anybody have follow up questions mm-hmm. or anything like that? Just let us know, and I'll pass them on. But yeah, this is wonderful. And you know, another thing about James too, I didn't even discuss is he's very much into natural healing, you know, Asian remedies and things like that. So we can talk about that too.
So James, how would you like to close?
Yes, sir.
How would you like to close your topic tonight?
Just, you know, I would like for people to not take what I say on face value, but do the research.
Okay.
That's pretty much how I do it. I'd like for people to go out and do the research. In order for me to feel that you picked something up for me, I would like for you to do the research. And then if there was a mistake that I've made, the next time I'm on, you say, Brother James, I was on here and you said this, could you please, when I went to go do the research, your dates were off, you know, or something like that, you know?
Perfect.
Awesome.
All right.
All right, my friend.
Thank you guys for having me once again. And
absolutely.
we always greet and end in peace.
Then peace unto you, James, and I will
peace,
see you
friend.
Tomorrow. But thank you very much.
Peace, James.
All right.
Yes.
Peace.
Peace
right.
out.
Peace.
That was cool. That's a cool interview. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you brought James on. He shared a lot of very valuable, for me, it's valuable information.
Mm-hmm.
It's things that, you know, I've studied, and the things that there were some things I wondered about.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool because you just never know. You know, like I'm big about that. The history
right.
is written by the most powerful, the ones who win the wars.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was good to hear someone else talk about that.
I remember in a history class once I challenged the teacher with the book that we were using. It was up in Alaska. We were using kind of outdated textbooks,
mm-hmm.
but they talked about manifest destiny being such a great thing and how the Native Americans were savagely massacring the white people. And I said, this book is wrong. This book tells history from a totally wrong point of view. We spent the whole class time arguing the book.
Right.
You know, and I believe that I won, you know, but,
yeah.
but that's what it takes. It takes people standing up and going, you know what, this isn't right. This isn't true. There's another side to this story that, you know, it's much more complex than you think, and you're telling us that it is.
I think I'd be a little savage if someone's trying to take my house.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be a little pissed
off. Take me off land that's been in mine
yeah,
for thousands of years.
I think I'd
years,
fight for it.
You know?
You know, so I can see where maybe they see that. But you know what? That's not how it was. It was just some guy who was scared under his bed writing what he saw.
Right. Exactly. You know,
gave it to his boss, and his boss says, no, you need to take all this out. Because mm-hmm. that, you know.
I often think of what would happen if another civilization or, you know, from outer space came to Earth and took all the human beings and said, okay, you're okay. You can just, all you do is live on Australia. We're going to move you all to Australia, and some of you might want to join our culture. You got to leave behind the human culture, but you can join our culture and all that other stuff. But, you know, you're stuck on Australia. You can have that.
Perfect example.
You know, and how would we feel about it?
I think Ronald Reagan talked about that.
You know, and they rewrote our history that we were, you know, just ignorant ape men or whatever, you know, and wiped out Mount Rushmore and, you know, took down the Eiffel Tower and the pyramids and... And that's what's happened with the native cultures here in this country, you know, and around the world.
Yeah.
Anytime they've encountered one more dominant culture. So, you know, James has opened my eyes, and I mm-hmm. hope that it just keeps going.
Yeah, and he has a a basis where he gets his information. It's not like he's pulling it out of his butt,
no.
You know.
Right.
That I know, because I know a lot of the things he talked about. And then some things I didn't, which is really cool.
Hey, Katie, you got anything to say?
I usually do, but I've studied a lot of history myself, and I've known quite a few of these things for a while. When I had questions as a kid, nothing was adding up. So the same, you know, with this, our own history, as with religions and stuff, I've had to look into things myself and find out what was the right thing. What was really going on that they weren't telling us in school.
Right.
Right. Absolutely.
But on this show, we try to debunk things sometimes, and we try to share things from a different vantage point, you know, because love and light is one thing, and the veil is thinning, and in order for the veil to be thin, we have to also know the history, why it's thinning.
Right.
And why we're able to see into the veil and see history for what is. The history he's sharing is the thinning of the veil.
Yes.
You know, that's, I mean, for the people who are really into what we do here on With Insights about sharing peace and hope. Well, peace and hope is understanding your history, where you come from, and where our foundation
knowing
is.
Knowing where you come from. If you want to know who you are and where you're going, know where you come from.
Yeah.
And where you really come from.
Yeah, so, not dissing anybody.
No, no.
We're not dissing anybody. We're sharing a different perspective. I don't think we have enough different perspectives in the world sometimes. I think everything, we just take things, like you said, on face value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way it was or should be, and we should move on.
Right. You know, we don't seek out controversy on this show, but we don't.
Yeah, I don't think we were doing that.
You know, we just want to present a point of view that maybe some of you haven't thought about, and maybe I haven't thought about, you know, or been aware of. You know, but as we're talking about, you know, as our awareness increases, we want to know the truth about what happened, and we can face
right.
it. We can face it and not have to be angry at anyone just because, you know, those things happened. But it's good to know. It's good to carry on the traditions of our ancestors and discover who they really were.
And like we always tell on the show, you know, in order to go into the light, we have to know that there's a shadow side of us, the shadow aspects of our history or shadow side of ourselves. The shadow never goes away, because I'll tell you right now, it was daylight, 2 hours ago?
Yeah.
Now it's night.
Right.
Okay, so that doesn't go away, you know. When the sun casts a shadow on you, there's a shadow. The light casts on you, you see the shadow.
Right.
So no matter how hard you try to find, no matter how loud you try to be in the light, you know, you're always a hope. There's always hope. You know, you're always that hope to share. So embrace the pieces and parts of you that you have struggled with, because those pieces and parts is what help make you to step into the light.
That's right. They have something to teach you.
Yes, they're the memories. They're the things that mold you. You're not just molded by the goodness. You're also molded by the things that hurt you, the things that, you know,
yes,
that are disruptive to you. You know, it's like the piece of coal, you know, getting smashed down, and diamond comes out.
Right.
That's you. And then you put it into the light, and it sparkles and shines.
That piece of coal probably thought it was dying. You know, it was never going to be the same. And it's right. It transformed.
Yeah. Just like you thought you were dying. You know, you probably thought this was the worst thing that could happen to you. Later on down the line, your memory's still there, but you've changed.
Right.
You've become something more beautiful than you could ever imagine. Yeah, you transform.
Transform under pressure.
Absolutely. And we're going to keep transforming, because that's the way the human spirit is.
That's right.
We don't just stop. So I want to say thanks to you and Katie for being on the show, and James for being on the show, and for the listeners. Tomorrow we have Lunchtime Wisdom at 11:30. Actually, it's Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe now. So you can have your lunch.
Get a coffee.
And then we have the Lion's Lair at 6 p.m. on Wednesday with Adriana Arts. And then at 9, we have the Throwback Thursday, an old past show that we play. And then we go into Friday, and we have Mark the Rabbit Hole, and he'll be sharing his thoughts. So he's a little more politically driven on in astrology. And then we have Mudtoe at midnight. And then we have Gary Heron looking to the crystal ball, you know, so take a journey through into the tarot reading and shamanism and the work he does. So we're jam-packed. So.
Now we just need to get Katie and I on, and we'll be complete.
That's right. So I want to say ho'oponopono to everybody. Much love.
Ho'oponopono.
And we'll move on.
Peace out. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.